Greetings, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 6. Be sure to take your outline out, follow along, take notes. Proverbs chapter 6. We, as we continue to work our way through this wonderful book, we have recently already talked about the danger of putting yourself into a financial situation by co-signing for people, then about the absolute folly and sin of laziness. We are now going to be talking about that happened to be a distinct mark, very prominent today among young people and people in general, is the what I have entitled simply the marks of a rebel. And we're talking about a rebel for an evil cause, for wrong, to overthrow that which is good. Our passage this morning will be verses 12 through 15. Follow along as I read. A worthless person, a wicked man, walked with a perverse mouth. He winked with his eyes, he shuffled his feet, he pointed with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, be with us this morning. A lot of times we look at a passage like this and we say, well, I'll never be like that, or I won't go there. But Lord, we need to recognize it so we know how to deal with it. We need to watch for its own rearing up within our own hearts, the spirit of a rebel, the spirit that wants to buck and go against your word and your ways. And Father, we do it more often than we admit. And of course, in this case here of our passage, we have a person who had given over to it. This is their life. They love to make people and life and societies miserable. They can't let good things alone. And so, Father, we prayed, we look at your wisdom and your word. We see the mark of that person, how they act and what their MO is and how they operate. And we need to not be a part of that. We need not to pick up any of these kind of traits. We need to recognize it with discernment and observation that they do this because their heart are twisted. They have been left to themselves, and their selves will always bring about folly in every way. So, Father, we pray, challenge us. Help us to be attentive as we listen to your word, and may we make the appropriate applications when necessary. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage today, we are dealing with a worthless person who is a mischief maker. A mischief maker is a person who wishes evil or harm to others, showing ill will and maliciousness toward people, whether it's single or groups. This troublemaker is someone who uses power and authority negatively to hurt or harm people using devious means in tongue, speech, and action. This person is a rebel at heart toward people and society in general, whose aim is to overthrow any divinely established social order. Pay attention to what I just said there. Whose aim is to overthrow any divinely established social order. They may not always understand why they're against something. They just know they are, and it's usually an unregenerate person towards the divine establishment God has established, whether it's the home, whether it's the commandment that he had indicated. We already went through stuff about laziness and sexual sins outside of marriage, and on the list goes. So this person is a rebel at heart. Brute Walke said this, quote, "One who is implacable evil and who agitates against the good." Point number one, let's look at verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Now, sometimes people are taken back by those words. The worthless person, he is worthless. He's not worth anything. He has no value. And that's exactly what the word means. It means good for nothing and unprofitable. But this person also characterizes vileness and a person who is a rebel against that which is good, holy, and right. That's what you need to understand. They are worthless, not trying to deny the dignity of God being created in the image of God, but they are worthless because they are trying to overthrow everything that God had established. That's why God called them a worthless person. This rebel here will not submit, will not toe the line, will not obey authority, will not yield to what is right. They're the way that seems right in their own eyes, and that's the path they take, not realizing that the path and the way of death. Now, addressing the worthless part, Eric Lane had a good comment that I think would be good to interject here. Quote, "No creature of God is worthless in the absolute sense. But if he devotes his life to causing trouble, the world is better off without him. He does nothing of any value or worth," end quote. He'll touch on the fact that everybody is significant and important and of value because they're created in the image of God. But what you make of yourself determines worthlessness or profitable in the eyes of the Lord. It is interesting when you do a word study of that word, worthless, throughout the Old Testament, you see them in action. You see that word in the Bible, their rebellion is recorded in the following thing. This is how they work and the things they attack. This is the person trying to turn people from God. This is the person who's rebellious against authority, who's destructive with their lies. They are sexually deviant. They are very damaging to relationship. They are against justice and contrary to any community unity or togetherness and any social decency. This is the mark of this person. That's why I term them as the rebel, because they're worthless because they are a rebel, because they rebel against that which is good and right. What is interesting, this very word, worthless, used often throughout the Old Testament, became explicitly a term for the devil. And nobody displayed rebellion in all of its form more than he did. And it's interesting when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, it reads as follows, very familiar passage that goes like this. What accord had Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? The word Belial there is another name for Satan, for the devil. And this was the only time this particular word was used. And when I researched it, it was interesting that it told me that it had Hebrew origin. And the Hebrew word from which this word came from is the very word that we have in our text this morning called the worthless one. So worthless equaled Belial being Satan, who rebelled against everything that was good, right, and holy. And so we need to understand that this is a serious character flaw that is not another personality or another way of living. And we need to realize that it's wrong, it is wicked, and many people get hurt by it. And yet, so often, as I have read that, and I read that, and I explain that, and I found that to you, sometimes we have a tendency to be in disbelief that anybody would be like that. We have it all around us. It's happening, people being malicious, rebellious, harming people and hurting people for no reason at all. I let you think nobody would like that today. One of the major strategy books that the Marxists used is Saul Alinsky's book, Ruled for Radical. Every tactic and approach in his book used by the Marxists to create political turmoil and change is recorded here in our passage. And what even makes it worse, he dedicated the book at the beginning to Satan himself. Quote, "Let we forget, lest an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to the very first radical. The first radical known to man who rebelled against the establishment and did it so effectively that he at least won his own kingdom, Lucifer." So he had a book that is designed to model and use these things to make people move and change to where you want them to go. He used all of these bend points here. He didn't invent it. They're right here, God, to give it to warn us. And they used that as this is a good thing to help create political change to what you want. We're all for political change, but proper political change. Not revolutionary, not rebellion, but one that is rooted in truth and people working together. This word, worthless, was also translated the word corrupt. Deuteronomy 13:13, listen carefully. Corrupt men have gone out from among you and enticed the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which you have not known. Here lies this worthless person who is a corrupt person who what they do is they're not corrupt because they corrupt themselves and do corrupt things. They corrupt people. And here it was talking about turning people's heart away from God to another god. In Nahum, they were called wicked. Here in Nahum chapter 1, verse 11, from you come forth one who plot evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. This person is not wicked and evil and worthless and corrupt to themselves. They spread their corruption and their wickedness by counseling and using their speech and whatever means they can. That's why it says in verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walked with a perverse mouth. Later on in Proverbs, it uses the word ungodly. Proverbs 16:27, an ungodly man digs up evil. This worthless person digs up evil, and it's on his lip like a burning tongue. He does everything he can to find dirt on people and spread it to create chaos, to create turmoil, to create agitation, to create dissension and division. These people are to be shunned. There is nothing good if they have to resort to those means, because they know if using just pure reasoning, talking, logic, discussion doesn't work, though they coerce, force. Now we turn to the word wicked man. Well, man, I thought you did enough on the first term, but that was just the first term. This was how they work. The word wicked means they are people of iniquity. They are people who bring about trouble, mischief, and sorrow. They are not only they create it, and they actually design, plan, and execute that. This is the kind of wicked person This is the word that denotes the person who abuses their power and position to harm or even kill those who are good. You can see how through the church ages and through church history, how God's people had suffered at the hands of the wicked time and time again. They've been robbed of jobs, they've been robbed of education, they've been robbed of ownership of homes and places, and so many other things. All because they are a follower of Jesus Christ. We live in a country where we've been blessed with that kind of protection, but it is eroding very fast to people like this, who sees us as the evil one, because we dare to believe there is a God that exists and that we owe our life and accountability to. So we are met with right out of the gate, right out after you leave the lazy person, you meet the worthless and wicked person. Then it talked about who walks with a perverse mouth. Now we all know walking is speaking of a manner of life. Throughout life, everywhere they go, they spread perverse speech. We're not talking about cussing. We're talking about falsehood. We're talking about things that are not true. We're talking, this word was translated, the word crooked, distorted, and twisted. They take the truth and they twist it. They take the truth and upside down it. They do everything but to speak the truth. And they do it with force and with the intention to create disharmony and division and schism and breaking up of relationships and communities. This person is a habitual liar because this is how they walk. They cannot hardly move their lip without lying. They are habitual deceivers. One of the ways they achieve their malicious goals is through the evil use of their tongue to persuade others. It's not simply to make a statement, it's to persuade you to be with them to do the same thing. By employing words that distort and twist reality through the use of lies, half-truths, white lies, deception, misinformation, distortion. All, they don't care as long as it's not the truth. They always will attack and use their speech to distort the truth on which healthy relationships and societies are built. Even Christians violate this in the sense, maybe this is not their whole character, but they rather tell a lie so they don't have to face situations in their own life or to face being confronted or rebuked or need to make them change it or admit they're wrong or humble themselves. Same strain. They say, no, we're not going to go there. Healthy relationships are built on trustworthiness and truth and honesty and transparency. Transcend that out to society, the same is true. When you begin to not only disagree with it, have a different view of it, a twisted, distorted view, but you promote it to get others on your side to overthrow that, that's an entirely different thing. That's who we're talking about here. That's why they're called the rebel, for an evil cause. So that was our introduction to the worthless person. Point number two, speak to the fact that they're given over to mischief. This is what they do. Now, you might not at first catch it, but understand the context of what we're dealing with when you look at verse 13. He winked with his eye, he shuffled his feet, he pointed with his finger. The whole idea here, the picture here, the rebel nonverbal gesture sinisterly behind the victim's back. In other words, they're using pre-arranged cues to communicate things to do hurt to the person or to a society. They use the eye, the feet, and finger to give off some prearranged signal to cue partners in crime at to their next step. Some kind of previously agreed upon signal that is unknown to the victim. Not only do the lip reveal the heart, it is the communication of all body language, sign language, and nonverbal cues as well. I like what John Kitchen said when you ever confront a person. Well, you're responsible for this. Here's what he said. Quote, when pressed, the wicked man could testify, I never said that, and feel justified in his strict accuracy. He may not have spoken the method that brought ruin, but he still communicated it clearly, end quote. That's important to catch. Alan Roth said what was happening here is, quote, gesturing in some way with his feet and fingers, he signaled certain methods to his fellow conspirators, end quote. So we have this flow here, and he uses his every part of his body, whether verbal or nonverbal, to communicate ruin, chaos, conspiracy, to hurt and bring hurt upon others. They use nonverbal speech to conspire against the person. When we observe the rebel's use of the nonverbal body language, as Solomon did here, Solomon penetrates to the source of the hostility. He found out where it all begins. It begins in the heart. Noted the next verse. Perversity is in his heart. The problem is his heart. He divided evil continually, the verse said. He sowed discord. Here the problem is in his heart. The perversity of his heart creates the scheming and ill will towards others. The word perversity means that describes the person who had turned away from what is normal, good, and right. This is the person who abandoned the truth, who abandoned righteousness, who abandoned God, and by default, they're going to go to the wicked side. This is where all their plots and plans get hashed and then carried out so that people are not aware of their intentions until it's too late. They're mastered at catching you by surprise to the point where you cannot recover. Purely, truly, the marks of the strategy of Marxists in every country they have tried to overcome. They use this same kind of model using Saul Alinsky's rule for radicals. Notice what it said. Perversity is in his heart. Again, depraved heart became more depraved because, let's take Proverbs chapter 1, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They showed their own path. They took the way of a fool and a folly, foolishness, sinfulness. They are now clearly, too easily, can become now the scoffer. What do? Middle of verse 14. He devises evil continually. Not part-time, not sometime, not to accomplish one goal, but constantly, continually do it. Devises is the word that has been translated the word plot, plan, and plow. Farmer, he doesn't just simply go out there and do it. He mapped out what he's going to do, and he plowed it accordingly, his land. No farmer takes his animal and go randomly out there and just go all over the place. But we need to, not only that he divides evil, he plots and he plans in detail with the intention. The perversity of his heart speaks of his intention of maliciousness and mischief and ill will. He doesn't even have to know you. He just doesn't want to work with you. The key here is the word continually. Here he plans his evil continually. It is habitual, constant. You think, when do they exhaust their wicked schemes and plans? They don't. They don't. They take great charge and energy from implementing their plan, succeeding in their plan, getting ready for the next one. Certainly applied. The word continually is very much along the same lines as what we learn and clear back in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. When the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Clearly we have this in this person. Clearly we see he divides it evil. The word evil there, it means they love to give pain and misery. They are vicious in intent. This is a gnarly person, folks, and yet we have them on our midst. Don't kid yourself, they're not around. I mean, all I have to do, you know, I wanted to refrain from saying it, but how do you not see Antifa and Black Lives Matter? And I'm not talking about politically. Put the political side aside. Their MO is wrong. It is wicked. Let's have a discussion. But don't be beating, hurting, and even killing people and destroying millions and billions of dollars worth of property because you want to. That's maliciousness. Every life matters. That's not the issue here. It's their MO, their modus of operandi. How they achieve their goal is right here. It was in evil intent, and then they back off, and then they come in waves, and then they back off, and then they come again in another place, catching you off guard. And you wonder where the connection. They don't have to. They have for one goal, and I'll tell you that in a moment. But the idea, don't miss the fact that the word evil is to inflict pain and misery. And it's all by intent. All of this evil and continual mischief planning, what is the aim? What is the goal? What is the end game? Praise God, he gives it the answer. Look at the end of verse 14. He sowed discord. That's it. He hates unity for a cause that he opposes. He wants to break down and sow discord, disunity, disharmony. He doesn't want peace. He wants chaos. And the Bible addresses this sowing of discord, this evil of this contrarian spirit of this rebel, often, even in the New Testament, Paul instructed again and again, 2 Timothy 2:23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. We're not supposed to be in conversation that generate strife. We're supposed to work together in harmony and unity. 2 Timothy 2:16, but shun profane and idle babbling, for they will increase more to more ungodliness. 1 Timothy 1:4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogy, with which cause dispute rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. 1 Timothy 6:4-5, he is proud knowing nothing. He is upset with dispute and argument over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicion. Useless wrangling, the men of corrupt mind and destitute of the truth. They use these means because they are destitute of the truth and they are of corrupt mind. We already seen that because their heart is perverted, twisted, distorted, and crooked. Caught my attention when Eli was reading our scripture reading this morning, Titus chapter 3, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authority, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing humility to all men. That is the opposite of this contrarian. That's the opposite of this rebel. We do not follow that kind of path. Their end goal is to create division, to install a new system or new something different that they didn't like previously. But at the end of the day, we need to understand that God's way is the right way, where people are not hurt in the process. When you just run roughshod over people, hurting them in so many different ways, it's wrong, it's evil, and it's diabolical. Even Titus 3, verse 9 said this, avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. These people are a menace and a danger to society. This word, discord. It was used 18 times in the Old Testament, 15 times in the book of Proverbs. He addressed it over and over and over, the sin of discord. And beware of those who do it. For example, Proverbs 15, verse 18, a wrathful man stirs up strife. Proverbs 16, 28, a perverse man sows strife. Listen to this. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. Who would do that? Who would try to whisper in one ear one thing and another word, the other person's ear another thing to create friends to fight? That person, that perverse person, worthless person, that rebel, they get a kick out of doing that. Proverbs 26:21. As charcoal is to burning coal and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Here you have this contentious man who loved to stir up strife. It's wrong. In doing this, they are skillful in drawing others into the contention and strife and helping to cause it. Here lies the danger. When they do accomplish their goal, chaos and disunity happens in a culture, society, home, family, relationships, friends. When they recruit others, they just expedite the thing. Take a step back and look at what we did learn so far. And I'm going to let John Kitchen establish the pattern we see here. He said this, quote, notice the progression. The heart is evil. From the evil heart spring thoughts and plans. These plans then give rise to action. We soon draw others as accomplices and which bring destruction upon the victim. Start in the human heart. They start thinking, start planning, start recruiting to implement this plan. This is what we see here. Now, whatever you do, beloved, when you see these kind of people, we above all people need to be praying for their soul because they are in a dangerous place. We must not be given over to them. We don't play their game. We play the game that God has given us, and that is using the truth with love, with patience, with gentleness, with humility, and in prayer, 2 Timothy 2:23 and following. That's how we deal. Do not get discouraged. They're here. He warned us. They're here. They were there then. Know where they're sorted. The problem is that they broken, busted up heart in a messed up way. It's not enough but that they believe it. They want to recruit others and to make something happen. That's the danger. That's this person. And lastly, the best encouraging thing we need to realize and be patient regarding is point number three. The sudden judgment without recovery, verse 15. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. The word therefore always is because of what we just learned, this is what's going to happen. Because of this, this is going to happen. Therefore, linked the rebel's plans and deeds with his judgment. Because he did these things and responsible for these things, he will have judgment. The idea here, just as the rebel abruptly wanted to overthrow God's social order, God is going to come and overthrow their life. And until then, we need to always remember the end of Romans 12, where vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay, not our job. That's why he gave us this verse in this context. What's going to happen? Calamity. The word calamity means distress, disaster, and destruction. That means things are going to go bad, fast, and hard. Call your attention to a word that's used twice, and that is the word shall. That speaks to certainty. It's going to happen. This will happen. This is as good and true as the sun comes up tomorrow. This will happen on God's timing, on God's term. So we need to be patient and let God have it and have his way and his timing, and we must continue to press on in the path of wisdom and stay on wisdom path and not be derailed because of these kind of people. Then I want you to notice the word suddenly, twice. But here's what's different about them. There are two different, entirely different Hebrew words. The only word they could come up with for the English was the same word, suddenly. I'll explain. Notice again. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. That first suddenly means it will come as an element of surprise. It'll catch them on guard, it'll be unexpected, and not only will they be caught off unexpected, they'll be in total disbelief. It's like, how many times have we experienced something that happened just like this, and we say, I can't believe this. How could this be happening? Okay, that's exactly the language here. That suddenly is the element of surprise and disbelief. God is going to catch them just like he loved to catch all of his victims unaware. God is going to give him a taste of his own medicine because he was going against God's moral law to begin with. So his calamity shall come suddenly. But then notice the next one. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. This word is a different Hebrew word that means when it comes, it's going to happen like that. It's going to be quick, going to be fast, going to be instant. The other one is surprise. The other one is boom. You're not going to see it coming. It is the word that speaks of it's going to happen instantly and quickly. And the most sobering words of it all, without remedy. Without remedy. No cure, no help, no recovery. When God acts and God moves, he's going to break them. He's going to deal with them, and they're going to get the fruit of their own way. Every sinner will get the fruit of their own way. This word was interestingly translated the word incurable in 2 Chronicles 21:18. After all this, the Lord struck him in his intestine with an incurable disease. The word incurable is the same as that phrase without remedy. He'll be broken. The word broken means destroyed, torn, crushed, maimed, crippled. could mean physically, could mean spiritually, could mean psychologically, could mean everything. Not only will the rebel be stunned and dealt with quickly, there will be an added permanent to the sudden ruin. It will be without remedy. No different than when someone who died in their sin and had rejected the Lord again and again and again for their salvation, one day they will die, and if they die in their sin, they'll go off into eternity. The worst part is not going there. The worst part is it has no end. It is eternal. It is forever and ever and ever and ever. There is no turning back here. He went whole in. I want to remind you, turn back to now, all the way back to Proverbs chapter 1. Let's read again what we read some time ago when we were there. Proverbs chapter 1, for those taking note, verse 24 through 31. Noted, remember all along, God, wisdom was calling, wisdom was everywhere, wisdom was everywhere and every place to be gotten, to be received, to be accepted, to be embraced, and yet they fooled, loved their simplicity, they rather had their folly, and on it goes. And then God said these words, verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel, would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. That's exactly what we see here in verse 15. This is not somebody who kind of just lost their way and maybe got grown in a bad home or ran around. He made some choices to therefore affect pain and infliction on people and recruited others to do it with them. And they'd use a lying tongue to do it. Oh, beloved, let's stay away from these kind of people. Let's watch that kind of spirit in our own heart. When we see it, we need to pity it, whether it's on TV, Facebook, news, or at the store. We need to pray that people like this come to know the Lord, and that we need to use the only weapon that God had given us to deal with this, and that is to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. They may lash out and rage against it. That's okay. Many of them turn because of the gentle love that Christians had shown. People will be overwhelmed by that. God's Spirit does that work. But certainly not the warmest of messages, but a very needful message to realize that any one of us are capable of doing it if we keep making bad choices along the way. It all starts when you don't choose the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. This is probably the worst end of it. We need to stay on the right path for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your patience with us. Thank you for delivering many of us who could have easily have fallen in this trap. Maybe not to such extreme, but Lord, maybe a person here or there, we would have used these things. But Lord, we pray that you'll help us to always use your way, your wisdom, and seek to honor and glorify you in all that we do. Oh God, do a work in our midst. In Christ's name, amen.